In this week's parsha, Kisavo, we have the Hargrizim and the Harevel, the Brachos and the Klolos. And Chazal see in this parsha the source for the concept of Arvus, which is mutual responsibility. And we can point out that with regard to Averos, it's quite clear that there is this concept of Arvus. In the case of Mitzvahs, it's a little bit less clear, and we'll get into that in just a minute. With regard to Averos, we have a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, which you will see on the top of your page 2 if you have that. And the Gemara there, which is eight lines up from the bottom of the Amud, on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and it says, "Ach bi avonos avosom atem yimoku," which is all taken from the Tochacha and Parshas Bechukosai, and it's all based on mutual responsibility, and a person can be punished for the sins of others. And the Gemara goes into different cases where the children don't learn from the mistakes of their fathers, they repeat those mistakes. And then the Gemara says that the Pasuk says in Parshas Bechukosai, "V'koshlu ish be'achiv, kimipnei cherev, v'rodef ayin, v'lo siya lehem tkuma lefnei oyveichem." Melamed says the Braisa, "Shekulam arevim ze bazeh." And this, of course, is the high profile subject of the war against Ai in Sefer Yoshua, and I think we've spoken about this in the past, and about the responsibility of Klal Yisrael for the sin of Achan. That's called Arvus. But that's not the discussion for today. We want to focus today on Arvus in mitzvos, in positive commandments. That means that I am responsible for you, just like if you take on yourself Arvus, you're a cosigner, you become responsible to the malveh to make sure that the chov is paid up. And if the lover defaults on the chov, you pay up in his place. So to here, I have responsibility to see to it that you pay up your chov, namely that you pay up your mitzvah. And therefore, I can be motzi you, I can be your emissary, so to speak. In a sense, it's sort of like the legal concept of you be my representative, power of attorney almost. And why do I have the right to be your power of attorney? Because I share a responsibility with you. And that goes very far. It means that I have a responsibility to fulfill the mitzvah myself. And even if I already fulfilled that mitzvah, but now I have to make sure that you fulfill your mitzvah. And this is the source for this is not the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we said before, because that's referring to Losa says to Averos, but rather the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So let's take a quick look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which you'll find on page 1. The Gemara says in Perek Ra'uah Bezdin, this is a Gemara on Daf Chavtes, that the Gemara says that Zeaklal, this is already back in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says Zeaklal, Kol she'eno mechuyev bedavar, eno motzi es harabim. The word rabim means acherim yedecho vasam. If a person is not obligated, then he cannot be motzi someone else. And Rashi explains that the reason for that is because Harei Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeba Zeba Mitzvos. If I'm obligated in the mitzvah, then I'm Arev, I am responsible for you to see to it that you fulfill the mitzvah. And the clarity of this Rashi really comes from a Gemara in Sota, which you'll see on page 2, and that's a Gemara on Daf Lamid Zayin Amid Beis in Masechta Sota. The Gemara first quotes a brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael says, "Klolos nemru b'Sinai protos b'ol moed." And then later on, the statement of the brisa is, "Ein lecha kol dvar mitzvah u mitzvah sheksuv b'Torah shelo nichrasu alea arba'im u'shmonek brisos." So every mitzvah had 48 brisos. And then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Ein lecha mitzvah sheksuva b'Torah, shelo nichrasu alea arboim u'shmona brisos, shel sheshmeos elef u'shlosh salaf v'chameshmeos v'chamishim. Which means that there are 603,550 Jews that were counted in the Midbar, during the Pekudim, the countings of the Midbar. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the 48 brisos were established with each member of Klal Yisrael as an individual, which means that all the people together form one entity that makes up this number 605,550, and they all are entering into a covenant together as a joint effort with mutual responsibility. So again, just to review so far what we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin which establishes mutual responsibility in Averos. As far as Mitzvahs is concerned, we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says that Eino Mechuyiv B'Davar, Eino Motzias HaRabim, but Rashi says, if you are Mechuyiv B'Davar, then Kol Yisrael HaRabim Zebezeb B'Mitzvos. And finally, we have the Gemara in Sota, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that every mitzvah has 48 brisos that break up individually to every single member of Klal Yisrael. And that means Kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. Now, what we want to study today is a machlokes based on the Rosh. The Rosh in Masechta Brachos, which you'll see here, just give me a second, what page is it on? On the bottom of page 3, you'll see the Rosh in Masechta Brachos. And there's going to be a gigantic machlokes how to interpret the Rosh. So before we interpret the Rosh, let's try to give a little bit of background. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Brachos on Daf Chaf Amid Beis that in the name of Ravina, that Ravina has a suffix. What's his suffix? So this you'll see on page 2, on the bottom of your page. Amale Ravina l'Rav Noshim b'Birkas Hamazon d'Oraisa o d'Rabbanon. Are women obligated min haTorah in the mitzvah of Yachalta v'Savata v'Racha, or only min Rabbanon? The Gemara is tzad to say that women are exempt midoraisa from the mitzvah of yachalta v'savatu v'rachta because the pasuk says al ha'aretz, and Rashi explains in Masechta Brachos that since women were not part of the Yerushas Nachla when they divvied up the land, therefore they're not included in this mitzvah al ha'aretz of yachalta v'savatu v'rachta. The Gemara offers another possibility, that women are not included in bris, and the pasuk says al brischa, and then there's a third possibility that are not included in Torah, and the pasuk says Torah. Then the Gemara goes on to ask, "My nafkimina, what's the difference between a mitzvah d'oraisa, to say that women are obligated midoraisa in Birkas HaMazon, which means that we just take the first part of the pasuk v'yachalta v'savata v'rachta, and Rashi points out it's a mitzvah say she'ein hazman grum, and women are obligated, or should we take the chiyuv, define and classify the chiyuv of women as d'rabbanon because of the rest of the pasuk al oretz atov nasan loch, etc., etc.? So the Gemara says the nafkimina is lafuke rabin. What does it mean, lafuke rabim? The question is whether a woman can recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of a man. If we assume that women are obligated to midoraisa, is then asi doraisa umafik doraisa. In other words, the Gemara establishes that there's a very simple premise that if you and I both share the same mitzvah, we're both obligated, then I can be motzi you. If women and men are both chayv midoraisa in Birkas HaMazon, then she can be motzi me. But if on a doraisa level women are exempt from Birkas HaMazon, and now she wants to recite Birkas HaMazon on my behalf, havi eino mechuyav bedavar. On a doraisa level, she's an eino mechuyav bedavar. She doesn't have that chiyuv. V'chol sheino mechuyav bedavar eino motzi es harabim yidei chovaso. And someone who's not mechuyav cannot be motzi someone else, as we mentioned in the Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Okay, this is the sugya, and the Rosh is going to ask Akasha based on this sugya. Let's look at the Rosh inside. The Rosh, you'll find here on the bottom of your page 3, on the left column, he says, V'im tomar, maishna mihadi amrinan. Okay, we just saw the sugya in Brachos Afchof Amid Beis, but let's fast forward to the sugya in Shlosha Shachlu, in Brachos Daf Memches Amid Beis. The Gemara there establishes that if I eat a kezayis, then I'm only mechuyev min rabbanon, and if you ate kebeitza, then you're chayev the oraisa in Birkas HaMazon. I ate a shir derabbanan, that's a kezayis. You ate a shir de oraisa, which is kedei svir. And the Gemara establishes that Reuven, who only is chayv min rabbanan, only ate a shir of kezayis, nevertheless he can be motzi Shimon, who ate kedei svir and is chayv min oraisa. Now if that be the case, the Gemara quite clearly establishes that a chiyuv derabbanan can be motzi a chiyuv doraisa. Reuven ate a kezayis, Shimon ate kedei svir. Reuven is chayv in rabbanan, Shimon is chayv in doraisa, and Reuven can be motzi Shimon in Birkas HaMazon. Therefore, swing back to the case of Nashim, and this is the Rosh's question. In the case of Nashim, even if I grant you that they are pturos, they're exempt from the mitzvah doraisa, but nevertheless they're chayavos midrabbanan. No, and if the chayavos midrabbanan, then why can't they be motzi a gadol? The Gemara says that if the chayavos midoraisa, it's doraisa and doraisa, osi doraisa umafik doraisa. But if they're only chayavos midrabbanan, they cannot recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of a man because he's chayav doraisa and she's chayav derabbanan. What difference does it make? It should be exactly analogous to the case of someone who ate a kezayis who's being motzi someone else who ate a kibetza in Birkas HaMazon. Meaning that we have to come to grips with the following question. Can I be motzi you if I don't share the same chiyuv as you? Well, the answer seems to be, based on the sugya Memches Amid Beis, that I can be motzi you even though I don't have the same chiyuv as you. I am only chayv midrabbanan, you're chayv midoraisa, and yet I can be motzi you. No, if that be the case, if the halacha of yotza motzi, that even if I'm only chayv derabbanan, I can be motzi you, despite the fact that you're chayv midoraisa, then we should conclude that even if I grant you that nashim are only chayv as in Birkas HaMazon midrabbanan, they should be able to be motzi a gadol who ate kedei svir and he's chayv in Birkas HaMazon doraisa. Oh, gevaldig kash of the Rosh. I mean, very, very difficult to answer this question. But the answer of the Rosh, I think, is a major breakthrough for our subject matter today. Yesh lomar, delo dami, deish afal gav delo ochal klum. a man, even if he didn't eat anything, dinu, it makes logical sense, she yiftar sacher, that he could bench on behalf of someone else who's obligated. Why? They call Yisrael a ravim zebazet. Says the Rosh, the halach of arvus allows someone to be motzi someone else, even though the first someone who's being motzi is not chayav in the mitzvah, but only on one condition, that he's included in the mitzvah. Okay, so let's talk about three categories of three scenarios. The first scenario would be someone who's not a bar chiyuv in any mitzvahs. For example, a cheres shot of a katan. A katan can't be motzi a gadol in any mitzvahs. That's clear. Then you have the following situation. You have a person who's chayiv in mitzvahs, but he's not chayiv in this mitzvah. And the question is, if he's not chayiv in this particular mitzvah, can he be motzi someone else? And then you have the third case, where a person is chayav in this mitzvah, but that's only in general, but in particular circumstances, for whatever reason, he's not chayav in the mitzvah. So again, the first case is someone who's completely mufka from the chiyuv, like a katan. The second case would be like Isha in Birkas HaMazon, according to the Bani Omar, that says that since she doesn't have a part in Yerushas HaAretz, or in Bris, or in Torah, therefore she's exempt. She is chayevus in all mitzvahs with the exception of this mitzvah. Then we have the third category of someone who is chayev in this mitzvah. Right now he's potter. For example, a person ate a kezias. According to Torah law, he's not chayev in Birkas HaMazon. Perhaps he ate nothing. Can he be motzi someone else? He's included in that mitzvah. Birkas HaMazon includes him. He's part of the chiyuv. Just that in this particular circumstance, he's not chayev for whatever reason, if he didn't eat or he ate a kezias. And here's where the Rosh makes his distinction. If it's a case of a katan who's not chayev in any mitzvahs, pshita, less mind the polling, there's nothing even to talk about, he cannot be motzi someone who's a god. That's for sure. If, on the other hand, a man who's chayav in Birkas HaMazon in general, but now he's not chayav, he's a bar chiyuva, but now he's potur, because he only ate a kezias, for example, then he can be motzi a gadol. That's the case of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. In the middle, between these two polar extremes, we have the following case. An Isha in Birkas HaMazon. Clearly, she's obligated in all mitzvahs. She's not like a katan who's a lav bar chiyuv klal. But in this particular mitzvah, Birkas HaMazon, for a unique reason, because she's not part of Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, she's exempt. So on the one hand, she is a bar chiyuv, but that's only in general. Here, in this mitzvah, she's a lav bar chiyuv. Says the Rosh, there's no din arvus. Arvus only applies when you have two conditions that are met. Condition number one, you're a bar chiyuv in general in mitzvahs, and condition number two, you're a bar chiyuv in this mitzvah. Do we add a third condition that now you are a bar chiyuv in this mitzvah? No. Says the Rosh, as long as you're in general a bar chiyuv in this mitzvah. If a man is included in Uvarachta Hashem Lekach Al Haaretz Asher Nasan Lach, then even though now, right this second, he's not chayev in the mitzvah, but nevertheless he can be motzi achirim. The third condition, that now I be chayev in order to be motzi you, doesn't exist. That's the principle of yotza motzi. That's what Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. But only, says the Rosh, because you share the chiyuv in general. You're included in the, you're classified as a bar chiyuva in abstract terms. Practically speaking, now you're a lav bar chiyuva, doesn't matter. You're a bar chiyuva. The Isha is in general a bar chiyuva, but the exception is Birkas HaMazon, according to Madi Omer, who says she's Ptura Midoraisa. Says the Rosh, if that be the case, then our kash is no kash. Let's review the question. In the Gemara on Daf Mem Chesam and Beis, where Reuven ate a Kizayis and Shimon ate a full Kibetza. Clearly Reuven can be Motzi Shimon, because Reuven is a Bar Chiyuva not only in mitzvahs in general, but even in the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. He's included in Birkas HaMazon. Now, he's not Chayav in Birkas HaMazon because he only ate a Kizayis, but he's a Gavra that's included in the Chiyuv. He's a Bar Chiyuv. That has nothing to do with the Gemara Daf Chaf Amid Beis. If you postulate that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, then she can't be motzi a man, because in this mitzvah she's a lav bar chiyuva, and unless she is a bar chiyuva, she cannot be motzi a man. This, I believe, is the way Rabbi Kiveger understood the Rosh. But what I'd like to begin with before Rabbi Kiveger is a very unique understanding of this Rosh of the Dagel Mirvava. Who is the Dagel Mirvava? He's otherwise known as the Tzlach, or maybe even more famously known as the Nodav Yehuda. It's all the same author. And the Tzlach has a very, what I call, far-reaching understanding of this Rosh. So if you happen to have page 4, so we'll take a look at the Dagel Mirvav. It's the third source on your page 4. He says, Omnom mashani mistapek afilu b'ish ha-makadish u-motzi ishto u-bnei beso im ha-noshim lo espalu arvis. Okay. Just one second. Yeah. He says the following. Let me just give you a little bit of an introduction to the Dagel Mirvav. He understands the Rosh in a different way than I presented to you. Because, again, I apologize that I didn't read one more line in the Rosh. That's very critical to understand the Dagel Mirvav. So again, on the bottom of page 3, if you go back to the Rosh, I stopped a little prematurely. The Rosh says, She'arev hu she'bavuram v'olav hu latzila min ha'avon v'lifta osam min ha'mitzvus aval isha eina b'chal ha'arvus l'kach eina motzia el misha chiyuva min rabbanah. Now, if you take the Rosh literally and underline those last few words in the Rosh, Aval Isha Eina Bichlal Ha'arvus, it sounds like what the Rosh is saying, that a woman is not included in Arvus, period. Not the way we understood it, that it's a separate Allah and Birkas HaMazon because of the requirements and the conditions for the Chiyuv Birkas HaMazon, which are not fulfilled by the Isha, but rather that a woman is excluded completely from Arvus. That's the way the Dagel Mirvava understood the Rosh. That the reason why, in the case of Birkas HaMazon, if a woman is exempt from Birkas HaMazon, she cannot be motzi a man, is because a woman is excluded from Arvus.
How can you go there? That's not what the Rosh said up till this point.
Oh, so let me just reformulate your question, Joe. The question that we should ask right now, and I'll answer it immediately on the Dagel Mirvava, is wait a second. Let's say a woman is exempt from Birkas HaMazon, but she's Chayevis Midrabanon, and if she's Chayevis Midrabanon, she can be motzi a man who ate a kizayis and is only chayav b'rabban. That's not relevant to our discussion. Has no bearing on the Dagel Mirvava. When the Rabbanan institute a chiyuv, they allow for a person who's chayav in that chiyuv the Rabbanan to be motzi someone else who's chayav in the mitzvah of the Rabbanan. That's like the case of a doraisa being motzi a doraisa. Let me explain. The Gemara postulates that if a woman is included in Birkas HaMazon, she can be motzi a man. That doesn't mean that she's included in Arvus. That's a different halacha. That's a halacha that states that if two people are obligated in the same mitzvah, in the identical same mitzvah, one can be motzi the other. That's not where the chiddush of arvus comes in. The chiddush of arvus comes in when I don't share the same chiyuv as you, and yet I can be motzi you. For example, if I ate kezayis and you ate kebetza, kedesvir, so I'm only chayv min rabbanon, you're chayv min deraisa. Here's where arvus comes in. In the case where a woman is chayevis doraisa, according to that svara, certainly she can be motzi a man. That's beyond question. That's not an issue. That has nothing to do with arvus. That has to do with the fact that we both share the same chiyuv. If a woman is only chayevis midrabbanon and a man only ate a kezayis and he's only chayev midrabbanon, for sure a woman can be motzi a man. The question is, in with regard to a man who's included in arvus, there's a brand new chiddush which says that Reuven, who does not share the chiyuv of Shimon, because Reuven did not eat, or at least he didn't eat a kebetza, Shimon is chayev midaraisa berkas hamazon. Reuven can be motzi Shimon, even though, despite the fact that Reuven does not have the chiyuv. That's called arvus. Now we can understand the Dogel Mervava. The Dogel Mervava understands that a woman is excluded from arvus, meaning at the time of arvus, which was established, let's say, by our grizim of our evil, ha'anoshim kiblu arvus by our grizim of our evil. The men folk accepted arvus, but the women folk did not. Hanoshim lo kiblu arvus. They never accepted this responsibility. Maybe it wasn't imposed upon them. Again, that's more for a philosophy discussion. But al pi din, the Dogel Mervava claims that a woman is not included in arvus. Therefore, listen to the repercussions of this halacha, the Dogel Mervava, in his understanding of the Rosh. He says, if this be the case, isha eina motzia noshem acheros midin arvus. You might suggest, okay, if I don't share the same chiyuv as you, I need arvus. If a woman doesn't share the chiyuv birkas hamazon of a man, then she doesn't have the possibility of arvus. But the Dogel Mervava is going even further. The din of arvus doesn't apply in general. So let's say, for example, if a woman did not eat at all, and she wants to be motzi a woman who ate, she can't be motzi a woman who ate. Well, let's say, what else can I give? What other example can I give you? Let's say a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah, let's say. Another woman cannot be motzi or in tefillah. Because what we're saying now is that there was never a Kabbalah's arvus as far as women are concerned. So let me just read again the language of the Dogel Mervava. He says, Ha'im anoshim shekiblu arvus par sin bar grizim bar evil mis arvu gam bi'ad hanoshim. Oh, now he has another nafkamina. He wants to say that if women, according to the Rush, again, those last few words in the Rush become absolutely critical, if women were not b'chlal arvus, then it could be reciprocal, and a man has no din of arvus vis-a-vis a woman. So even though the men accepted arvus, but this arvu only for anoshim, but not for noshim. And the Dogel Mervava vacillates back and forth on this point. He's mistopic. Whether this arvu ha'anoshim bi'ad ha'anoshim. If you say that an ish was misari for an isha, then shapir motzi ha'isha sa'isha. Let's say, for example, a man already benched, he can bench on behalf of a woman. O Dilma, kevon sha'anoshim lo nichnesu b'chlal arvus, if the women didn't accept arvus, k'mo chen lo kivu ha'anoshim arvus b'shvil ha'anoshim, then men did not accept arvus for women. That means that a man cannot be motzi a woman. It's unbelievable how far the Dogel Mervava is willing to go with his reading of the Rush. In other words, the Dogel Mervava wants to know if a man does not share the obligation of a woman, but she's obligated, can he be motzi her? And the answer is, according to Dogma Ravama, unless the man is chayiv the way she is, which again, that's not midin arvus, if he's potter, he cannot perform the mitzvah and be motzi her. He cannot be motzi her because, according to one side in the Dogma Ravama, since the women were not included in arvus, a woman can't be motzi another woman, and certainly not another man, a man, then so too a man cannot be motzi a woman. Again, Rabosa, keep in mind, this does not include the case of two people who have the identical chiyuv. Now, it is an interesting side point here. If you take a look at the stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, on the bottom of page 4, he thinks that the Gemara in Sota, that we learned before, at the outset, that Gemara is a clear-cut proof for the Dagel Mirvava. Because the Gemara in Sota, if you recall, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, calculated how many people were included in Arvus. And we came up with the number 603, 550. That number is the number of males who were counted in the Midbar, not females. So if the Gemara in Sota is the source for the principle...
603,500.
What do you say?
I thought the number was 603,500.
603,550, I think it was. Well, what was it again? You want me to... You know what? Yechiel, be mocha me on the 50. I'll look it up again. You have the Gemara in Sota in front of you. But again, the point is that you'd have to double that number if you included the women. Am I right?
Just
one second. So the Ketanim, the children weren't included in that number. Fine. They're not included in Arvus. That's for sure the children are not included. They say that the total number of people that went out of Mitzrayim was probably about 5 million, whatever it was. Maybe it's 3 million. We don't know exactly the number. But that number that the Gemara establishes in Sota, which is the secret number for Arvus, only includes the men. Again, the fact that it excludes the children, that doesn't bother me. But now we're saying it excludes the women as well. So the stipler sees in that Gemara in Sota a proof for the Dagel Mirvava. Yeah, David?
So it also excludes men over the age of 60.
So that's an interesting question. The counting was only for men who were Yotzei Tzava, right, let's say. Right, from the ages of 20 to 60. If that be the case, are we going to say that there's no Arvus beyond that? And not only that, you should know.
But it can't be.
You should know that the son of the stipler shlita, Reb Chaim Kanevsky, he rejects his father's proof based on a Tosis in Nida, which you'll have on page 2. Do you see that the Tosis in Nida Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis? He says that there are other people who are included in Arvus that weren't counted in that number. For example, Gerim. So the Kitzar Maisa, to say that number, 603, and I think it's 550, Yechiel says it's 550, I thought it was 555, whatever it is, that number is to the exclusion of anything beyond that number in Arvus, that's an untenable position. Because we know that Gerim are not included in that number, and yet they're certainly included in Arvus. But be that as it may, what I wanted to study with you is Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger appears in a few places. Number one, in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch. And he thinks that the position of the Dagel Mirvava is untenable. And that there's no question that a man is Arev on behalf of a woman. What's his proof to derive that conclusion? So Rav Kiveger appears in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Ayin Aleph in the Sugya of Kiddush, because that's where the very relevant question comes if a man can be motzi a woman in Kiddush. Now, of course, if you assume that both the man and the woman are obligated in Kiddush Midoraisa, Zochus Yom HaShem Sekach, there's no question about it. But let's assume the man already made Kiddush, or at least he davened Ma'ariv in Shul, and therefore he fulfilled his Chiyuv D'oraisa of Zochus Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. He's only obligating Kiddush Midrabbanan. So he no longer shares the same Chiyuv as a woman. she might be obligated midoraisa because some of Shomer calls she Yeshla b'shmir Yeshla b'schira. She's obligated in the mitzvah of Zachar. He already fulfilled his mitzvah of Zachar in Shul when he recited Meir. Okay, but now we can introduce the halach of Arvus, correct? But the question is, does Arvus apply between a man and a woman? According to the Dogma of Vava, that's not clear. Comes along Rabbi Kivager and he says, I have a Gemara, that explicit Gemara that says that a man can be motzi a woman. And I'll read to you his language. He says,
a man can be motzi a woman is no chiddush.
So that's what I'm telling you. It's a great chiddush because the note of you is...
We're always motzi women.
Again, if we have the same chiv as the woman, that's one thing. But let's say we don't have the same chiv as women. The double mervav is of the opinion we cannot be motzi a woman. I mean, Boker Tov. I mean, this is what we've been hocking about now, you know, for the last... okay. I'm just jiving you, Yechiel. Okay. All right. So what is the proof of Rabbi Kivager to completely upschlug the note of Yehuda? The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem Chesom and Aleph, which again you'll see on the top of your page 3, the Gemara there has a ganze story about Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. And basically the Gemara says over there that Shimon ben Shetach, although he only ate a kezias, was motzi his sister in Birkas HaMazon. So you see that a man can be motzi a woman. And the premise of Rabbi Kivager is that, again, you have to look at all the details in the sugi, that she ate a full meal, a full gatsa suda, so she ate kedei svia, which means that her obligation was doraisa. Now, if she ate mistama kedei svia and he only ate a kezias, how could Shimon ben Shetach be motzi his sister birkas hamazon? The only answer that you could give in such a case, because again they don't share the same chiyuv, is kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, and I quote: Noshim ein arevim lacherim. Although women did not accept arvus vis-a-vis others, amal anoshim arevim gam al noshim. The al kol ponim. Nifshat sfeiko dahagon hanal. The suffix of the Novi Yehuda has now been resolved. A man has arvus towards a woman. So it's interesting. Even though the women did not accept arvus on themselves, but nevertheless the men accepted arvus for the women. It's a one-sided, you know, traffic goes in one direction and not in both directions. Now, in order to understand what's going on here between the Noda B'Yehuda and Rabbi Kivager, and by the way, I just want to tell you for your own interest, it's not like the Rabbi Kivager, you know, discovered America here. The Noda B'Yehuda himself was aware of this Gemara in Masechta Brachos. If you take a look on the top of your page 4, as I told you before, the Noda B'Yehuda wrote many different works, one of which is called the Tzlach, the Tzion Lenefesh Chaya. And in his commentary on Brachos, Daf Chof Amid Beis, on the left column, he asks the question, after he establishes that Noshim Leka Arvus, and Mistomaki Hechi, the Noshim Ein Arevim Bishvil Anoshim, Akinami Ein Anoshim Arevim Bishvil Anoshim, men never accepted Arvus vis-a-vis the women folk. He says, how could he be motzi his sister? She was married to Yanai. Says the Tzlach, the Ulai, Kevon shall call upon him, Achlu Yanai v'chaverov kidei svia, v'nischaivu min haTorah. So the menfolk ate kidei svia and they were chayv min haTorah. And Shimon ben Shetach, it doesn't matter what he ate or if he ate. It doesn't matter. There's a din of arvus vis-a-vis the other men who arev. They call Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. Ishuv nikra Shimon ben Shetach gam ki mechuyiv min haTorah. Umotzi es hanoshim af she'ein arev ba'adam di'asi doraisa umapik doraisa. Remember I told you before that if two people share the same chiyuv, that doesn't mean that we need arvus. One person, Reuven, could be motzi Shimon even without the din of arvus, if they both share the same chiyuv, meaning they're both chayv d'oraisa and they're both chayv d'rabbana. Says that Tzlach, Shimon ben Shetach, although he didn't eat more than a kezias, he's chayv and birkas hamos d'oraisa. And why is that? Because since there were other men, Yanai and his whole entourage, who did eat kedei svia, they were chayv b'daraisa. Now the halach of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazek kicks in, and once Arus kicks in, then Shimon ben Shetach himself becomes chayv in birkas hamazon and daraisa. And this is, I think, the shita of the Ran. Where is the Ran? So if you take a look on page 1 of your set here, and all the way in the bottom, you'll see the Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. He says the following: Kevan shelo yotza chavero, kimi shelo yotza hu dami. The Ran in one sentence reveals the secret of Arus. The secret of Arus is that I have a double chiyuv. Each one of us has a double chiyuv. I'm chayav vis-a-vis myself. That's my personal obligation. But I have another chiyuv. I have to see to it that you fulfill your obligation. And it's clear that when the Ran says ki'ilu hu atzmo lo yotza yedecho vaso, it means that he, since he has this responsibility towards someone else, is considered a mechuyav bedavar. And therefore the Tzlach makes absolute sense when he says that Shimon ben Shetach, insofar as he's being motzi Yanai, who's chayv b'doraisa because he ate kedei svia, Shimon ben Shetach himself becomes a bar chiyuv b'doraisa, he can be motzi a woman as well. So again, even though Shimon ben Shetach didn't need a thing, he can still be motzi a woman. She ate kedei svia, which might mean that she's chayev b'doraisa according to one side of the Gemara. And now we're saying, like, to know to be Yehuda, that Tzlach L'shitasa, there's no Arus for a woman. Say, so how could Shimon ben Shetach be Motzi, his sister? The answer is, he's an Arif. What do you mean he's an Arif? He's not obligated. The answer is, he is obligated. He shares the same identical Chiyuv as her. What generates his Chiyuv and his Arvus? His Chiyuv towards Yanai and the entourage.
So what's the questions that Brachos gives about him being about all those cases where it says that he one person ate a little bit and the other person ate a lot, one piece of person was sovei and one person wasn't? Who cares? We don't have to ask those questions in the first place.
No, what the Gemara means to say is that since he only ate a kezias, he has no chiyuv midaraisa to bench. How then can he be motzi someone else? And the answer is midin arvus, because even though he's chayev only midrabbanan, because he only ate a kezayis, he becomes mechuyev midaraisa because yenam ate a kemetza. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Gemara means.
But the Gemaras in Brachos do not. The Gemaras in Brachos clarify the concepts of one eating, one having a chiyev derabbanan, one having the chiyev deraisa, and where the parameters are. According to this, there's no question in the first place.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by no question in the first place, Joe. But the bottom line is the following. And you go through all of Shas with this bottom line, with this rule of thumb. If you know of someone else who's chayev in the mitzvah, you're not chayev, because the conditions to engender that obligation have not come to fruition. For example, you already yotze your chiyuv, right? So now, in this present situation, you're chayev. You become chayev because yenem, because somebody else is chayev, and that's called kol yisrael arevim zebazeh. That would not apply vis-a-vis a woman, according to the Nod view. Meaning, if your chiyuv of arvus is limited, according to the Nod view, to men, but it doesn't include women, you cannot be motzi a woman. But if, on the other hand, you're chayev midoraisa and she's chayevis midoraisa, then you could be motzi her without the din of arvus. Even though you have no arvus vis-a-vis a woman, that's a technicality that since you both share the same chiyuv, you could be motzi her. The chiddush here, the note of Yehuda and Tzlach, is that you become obligated midoraisa through the din of arvus. Since you have arvus vis-a-vis another man, you become a bar chiyuv midoraisa. Now you can be motzi the woman because you share the same chiyuv. So it would seem now that we could perhaps get an insight into the machlokas between the Nodav Yehuda and Rabbi Kivega. The Nodav Yehuda in the Tzlach understands, like the Ran, that a person who's motzi someone else means that he himself becomes a mechuyev bedavar. If arvus kicks in, then I become obligated even though I'm not obligated, because I'm obligated because you're obligated. Rabbi Kivega doesn't understand like that. Rabbi Kivega understands arvus like the Ritva understands arvus. Let's take a look at the Ritva for a second on page 1. And the Ritva towards the bottom of page 1, I mean it's the third source on your page, he writes the following. Hare kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh uka'arev haporea chov chavera. The Ritva understands that arvus should be taken literally. What's an arev? Like we call it a cosigner or a guarantor. I don't owe the malva a single dime. I am picking up the lovis chiyuv. It's not my personal chiyuv. Do you follow what I mean? It's not like the Ran who says in Rosh Hashanah that Kimisha she lo yotzi dechovas adami. It's like as if he didn't fulfill his obligation. No, the halacha of arvus is a totally different halacha, which I pay up for you. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiveger, arvus is a different din. Arvus is a new din that says that I can be motzi even if I'm not chayev. Even though I'm an Eino Mechuyev Bedover now, but I'm a Mechuyev Bedover in general, I never picked up a Chiyuv, but I'm an Arev. And an Arev means that I'm Chayev vis-a-vis you. No. If I'm Chayev because of your Chiyuv, how can Shimon ben Shetach recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of his sister? You're going to tell me that also there were men included? It doesn't matter. The fact that men are included doesn't give me any sort of arvus towards the woman, because I still remain part of a mitzvah. Shimon ben Shetach did not eat enough of a shir to be chayav birkas mazdoraisa. How can we motzi a woman? The answer has to be that there's a din arvus vis-a-vis the women. And even though the women didn't accept arvus, the men accepted arvus towards the women. But Rabosai, just to summarize, because I have to let you go soon, there's a basic hakira here, two understandings of how arvus works. One understanding is based on the Ran and the Dogel Mirvava, that if you're mechuyev, then I become mechuyev. Even though technically I'm not chayev, but insofar as I'm responsible for you to implement your chayev, I become a bar chayev in this mitzvah. That's one way of understanding arvus. The other way of understanding arvus is that kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh means just that. I'm an arev. It's your chiyuv and not mine, but I got to pay up your chiyuv. The Torah was mechadish that I become an arev. And we accepted arvus. And the nafkamina is going to be how to understand the case where a man is motzi a woman in Birkas HaMazon, even though he's not chayev in Birkas HaMazon. The answer has to be arvus. That even though I'm not chayev, I pick up that chiyuv. And that's why Shimon ben Shetach was able to be motzi his sister, because he has a din of arvus. He's not mechuyev, but he's arvus. That's a new din of arvus. The other way of understanding it is the way the Nodav Yehuda understood it, that since Shimon ben Shetach already accepted upon himself arvus vis-a-vis the other man, he becomes a mechuyev bedavar. And if he's a mechuyev bedavar, he can be motzi the isha, but not midin arvus. Because the Nodav Yehuda is of the opinion that there is no arvus vis-a-vis women. Because just like they didn't accept arvus in general, we don't accept arvus towards them. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll stop here. If you happen to be anywhere in the vicinity in the next 3 hours, you can come here. The Chief Rabbi of Israel is coming to speak here in honor of Rosh Hashanah. His name is Rabbi David Lau. I don't know if you heard of him. So even though you guys didn't order seats and it was only by RSVP, I have protection. I'll get you seats. Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Right.
Yeah, thank you so much.